those of you that don't know me, I'm Simone, and I'm leading the 6 to 12 group. And I just had something on my heart that I wanted to tell you. I'd like to tell a truth about you. And you, are you ready to receive it? you're not afraid of me, right? If you send your kids to me, you should not be afraid of me. you are a sower. You understand a sower? What does a sower do? Sows the seed. So I'd like you to tell me you have seed. So take your hands and just go like this. And look into your hands and say, I have seed to sow.
I have seed to sow.
That's exactly true. You do have something to sit to sow. You have a gift, you have a talent, you have grace or graces, and it's in your hands. And you should not eat it up. What do you do with your seed? You sow it into ground. And I tell you that church is something that God does. And whatever God does, it's eternal. That means if you put your seed into church, guess what happens? You reap, and it's not, this is your life. This is the span of your life. If you put your seed in that little span, you will reap in eternity. Reap and reap and reap. And you, God, if I ask you to sow your seed, I'm not stealing something from you. God is not stealing something from you. He wants you to reap in eternity. And if you don't see that, and if you just live for yourself, you will not have a harvest in eternity. So I tell you a secret about kids. Kids is a ground, a soil, where you can see 100% fruit. It is amazing. Last month, we talked about the Holy Spirit, and we talked about Peter that was shy and timid, and he said, no, I don't know Jesus. And then he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he got so bold that he stood in front of people. And I asked, who wants to have the Holy Spirit? And everyone came forward. That's kids. They believe you. And so I don't want to tell you just come all to kids, but I ask you to visit us. See what's going on in kids and see that soil, that ground we have and that God has entrusted to us, and ask God if this is an area where you should put your seed. And it doesn't mean that you have to preach to them. It doesn't mean that you think, I'm called to kids. Just look what you have in your hands. If it's ushering, if it's sound, if it's prayer, whatever, if it's practical ministry, we have administration, we have everything in 6 to 12. And look into your hands and acknowledge that you have a seed. And ask God. I think there are some of you that need to be in kids. And there's a harvest for you. And so I just would like to... I'm not the only one that should be there, and I believe there are several of you, and you should just ask God and acknowledge that you have seed to sow. If it's a smile, and maybe you don't reap at that Sunday, maybe you just, but you will have us. You will have a harvest. So I'm just like to encourage you. Thank you, Pastor. So 6 to 12. I think we can go, right?
Amen. You may be seated. We just sang Psalm 27. Psalm 27, David says, I had fainted or I would have despaired unless I had believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. At that point, had he seen the goodness of the Lord yet? No. He said, I had fainted. The only thing that kept me going, the only thing that gave me hope, the only thing that made me press through was I believed. that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And the title of my sermon today is Have Faith in God. Amen. Have faith in God. God switched my sermon on Friday night when Martina was speaking. It was one of these things. I had a couple of points, and I kind of was in my sermon preparation, had a great thing, had the title and all that, but I was not really satisfied, you know. And then on Friday night, I was sitting at WordFest, and Martina was speaking on prayer, and she said a couple of things, and while she said it, you know, I did what we shouldn't do. My mind just went somewhere else and was like, okay, it looks like it will be one of these Saturdays where I just spent my Saturday preparing the sermon, because usually I have it before Saturday. Well, you know, it looks like one of these Saturdays, you know, or I just need to take care of something else. And so I was thinking all that, and then suddenly, you know, she said something, and then suddenly it was there. Boom, 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 boom. That's your sermon. I'm like, all right. So I like that so much better than working through your sermon notes and, what am I going to say? And, you know, it's a good sermon. You'll probably hear it one day. but you know, this one's better. The Bible says it's the word in season that is good for us, right? So the other word I had was still good, but a word in season is still the best. So my title is Have Faith in God, and let's turn to Mark. Let's say Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. Exactly. Mark 11, and I just want to read verse 22. It says, Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. The disciples have been with Jesus for a while. They've been traveling with him. And Jesus had just done something remarkable. He had done something they had never seen before. He has done something that was supernatural. He just spoke to a tree. And the Bible says the tree dried up from the roots. And, you know, when they saw it, you know, next morning, Peter just came to him and he said, well, what about that? How did that work? How did that happen? And it says, Jesus answered him, and the first thing he says is, have faith in God. So when we talk about the supernatural or how wonderful God is and all the good things he has in store for us and all that stuff, that's great. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ooh, but it all starts with this. Have faith in God. That's how it all starts. Whenever you see something in the Word and you go to God and you say, okay, Lord, what about this? You know, I see I'm supposed to be healed. I see I'm supposed to be prosperous. I see that in your word. What about it? I promise you, the first thing he's going to speak to you, not the only thing, but the first thing is, have faith in me. Trust me. That's the first thing he will always say. That is his answer to your question, what about it? What about this? I don't understand this. Always, before he answers your question, he always will preface it with, have faith in me, trust me. He always will, I promise you. Have faith in God, because after all, he is your source. He is the one that the healing comes from. He is the one the prosperity comes from. He is the one your peace comes from. He is the one your comfort comes from. So have faith in God. Trust God. If it looks like, you know, well, I don't know, and I don't know how I should be, can go on, you know, my body hurts, my account is empty, you know, just have faith in God. Well, but you don't understand, I literally don't know how to pay my rent by the end of this month. Well, have faith in God. That's not the only answer, but it's the beginning of every answer. Have faith in God. Well, but Alex, my whole body hurts. How can I be healed? Have faith in God. Trust God. That's not the only thing he says to you. That's not the only thing there is to know. It's the first thing you need to know. So whatever question you have, okay, Alex, how can I walk in love? Well, have faith in God. How can I receive from God? Well, have faith in God. Have faith in God. In Mark 9, it's not that far away. It's just two pages to the left, or maybe just one page to the left. In Mark 9, there is a whole family in a very desperate situation. And they come to the disciples and they ask them for help. And the disciples do everything they know to do, and it still doesn't work. So this father comes to Jesus. And in Mark 9:23, Jesus says to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." All things are possible to him that believes. By the way, if you ever are in a debate or in a discussion, or you have these voices in your head, who says healing is for today? Who tells you that healing hasn't stopped with the times of the apostles? Who tells you that God really wants you to be healed now? Maybe that's not for today. Well, you can forget all the theological degrees out there, all the theological debate. You can forget all the books. Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. And all things means healing. So the whole issue is settled right there. If you believe, all things are possible. If you trust God, if you believe in him, if you believe him, all things are possible. Jesus said that. And as a response, that father, it says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said to the Lord, "I believe. Help my unbelief." So I want to talk to you about this. There was a time when believers encountered problems, when it looked like things in their life didn't work out the way they saw it in the Bible, they knew God has the answer. And they knew that faith in God is what will carry them through. Faith in God is what will cause them not to faint, not to despair. It was faith in God, trusting God, clinging to God, and making God your source. They knew that. And they also knew that when it didn't work the way they thought it should, or when it didn't work the way they saw it in the Bible, they knew God wasn't the problem. They would come to God and they would say, "God, I believe you, but if there is some area in my life where I'm walking in unbelief, where I do not trust you the way you want me to trust you, help my unbelief." Now, that is very unpopular nowadays, because we have kind of, we switched it around. We kind of exchanged all that for something else. See, there was a time when somebody said, "I'm in pain." And somebody would say, "Have faith in God." That was enough for them. That was enough for them. There was no, "Yeah, but." It was, "Yes, Lord, I will trust you. I will trust you. I believe you." It was enough for them. That was the encouragement they needed. "Well, what about this? I've been believing for healing for 3 months." "Have faith in God." "Well, but I do believe. But Lord, you know, whatever area there is where I need to build my faith, where I need to hear from you, help my unbelief." There was this time where "have faith in God" was encouragement enough. It was answer enough. Maybe there were some other questions that person had, but for now, in that moment, have faith in God was what they needed, and it was what they received. I received that. I just need to keep on trusting and believing God. And we switched that around. We kind of now, we don't need that anymore, really, because now we have our 7 steps, and now we have our 30 days. Right? We have 30 days of this, and after that, all the things will be different. And we have 7 steps of this, and you just do this, and all the things will work out. So we don't really need that anymore. That's kind of our attitude today. It's okay, give me the 7 steps. Give me the 30 days. Give me the book. Give me the DVD. Give me just the one thing that now will solve everything, when in fact, the answer has always been and always will be, have faith in God. That's how everything starts. That's the answer. When you ask him, "What about it? How can I solve this? How can I get out of this?" It all starts with this. Have faith in God. Trust Him. Have faith in God. Now, is that wrong? Are the 7 steps wrong? Are the 30 days wrong? No, they're not. But they have to be filled with faith in God. You can take as many steps as you want, and you can do as many 30 days as you want, and you can do whatever you want. If it is not filled with faith in God, it will do nothing for you. It won't. So, I don't know about you. You don't have to raise your hand, but how often have you bought a book or watched a TV series or had some DVD, and it was like, take these steps and this is going to happen, or, you know, you're 30 days of this and everything will be wonderful, or, you know, how many times have you done that and it just didn't work? If you even made it through the 30 days, usually it just became 3 days of, right? Why? Because there was no faith. It was just, okay, I'll do it. And it wasn't your own strength, and it wasn't, and it just didn't, you know, it just, you know. Why? Because we didn't start with half faith in God. 7 steps are not wrong and 30 days are not wrong, but God has to be part of every single step. Yeah. It has to be, God has to be in everything. And faith in God, trusting the Lord, making Him your source, looking to Him has to be part of every single step. The way we run our race, what does that mean? The way we take steps, running. This will be a revelation to you. If you want to run your race, all that is taking a lot of steps really fast. Did you know that? That running a race means you take a lot of steps pretty fast. So I believe in taking steps. That's not the point. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, the way to run your race is by looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. So you don't look to God, have faith in God, like on Sunday, everything is wonderful, and then you look down, and then you try to figure everything out yourself because you have your books, you have your 7 steps, you have your 30 days, you have your... That's not the way it works. You keep looking to Him. That's how you take your steps. And the more you look at Him, the faster you'll be able to take the steps. But this is how it works. Have faith in God. See, now we have what's very important to everybody. We have practical preaching, right? At the end of every sermon, you have to have your 1, 2, 3. You have to have your steps. You have to give people something that they can use in their everyday life. Is that wrong? No. But if that is the only way we preach, we are wrong. Because the Bible is not just a good manual for successful practical living. The Bible is God's revelation to us. That's where we get to know Him. And when it comes to getting to know your Creator, getting to know God, who He is, what is His nature, how big is His love for you, there is no step 1, 2, 3. There are no 30 days. If you want to find out how wonderful He is and how much purpose He has for your life, you will not find it in 30 days. This is something you have to be in this, you have your nose in the Word of God. You have to hear from Him. You have to find out who He is. And you have to say, Lord, I believe, but wherever I do not, wherever I struggle, wherever, help me. See, you don't have to figure it out yourself. He's still helping you. But you need His help. Why? For what? To believe. Because everything starts and ends with have faith in God. Did you know that? It starts and ends with have faith in God. It starts with it. You have to have faith in God all the way through, and then you have to finish in faith. Hebrews 12 tells you the same thing. It says He is the author, that means the beginner, the originator of our faith, and He is the finisher of our faith. And then the Bible says we are supposed to live by faith. So faith is in the beginning, faith is in the middle, and faith is in the end. Faith everywhere. See, this is why I like to say we're in a faith church. We're a faith ministry, not because we believe we're awesome and everybody else doesn't know anything. No, we believe we're awesome and all the other people know at least as much as we do. It's just we put an emphasis on the fact that whatever we do, we will have faith in God. We will trust God. We will do it by faith and have faith in Him. See, I was preaching about worship once, and somebody came up to me after the sermon. And if you want to know how to worship right, if you want to know how to really worship God, get to know Him. If you look in the Bible, the moment people saw God, they were on the floor. The moment people saw, you know, maybe just even the back of, you know, or when they're even the people around his throne, they're falling down every time they see him. I mean, the presence of God and the glory of God is so strong. Even when angels appear to people, people were just worshiping. And the angel, they say, stop, stop, stop. Worship God. Don't worship me. But there was just so much glory and so much presence of God around them, you know, that they were like, oh, who am I? But how did that... Praise the Lord. Well, the Bible says there is a voice like thunder, you know, so that was a perfect illustration. But see, I don't know where it was. I'll just keep going. But after a sermon about worship, somebody came to me and said, so that was great. Amen. Praise the Lord. I loved your sermon. How do I do that practically? And I said, what do you mean? He said, how do you do that practically? You know, worshiping God, you know, how do I do that? And I wanted to make a joke. And I said, well, close your eyes, raise your hands, and say, thank you, Jesus. She said, oh, okay, thank you, and left. That's what that person wanted to hear. I talked about how good God is, how wonderful he is, how he wants to have fellowship with us. And instead of just coming to God and saying, Father, thank you so much. You have fellowship with you, you know, and just look at his word, how wonderful it is, how good he is. I tell you, if you see how good he is and how awesome he is, that will be your response. Your response will be holy, holy, holy. That will be your response without any step. It's not step one holy, step two holy, step three holy. Oh, that's the way you do it. Holy, holy, holy. I did it. That's not the way it works. There are some biblical manuscripts that even have holy, holy, holy 9 times in there. So you have step one holy, step two holy, step three holy, step four holy, step five holy. Wow, so I got even more steps. And I'm sure somebody will come up with 30 days of holy. But when actually all you need to do is find out from God himself who he is. And that will be your response. Why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So faith in God has to be part of everything. See, the thing is, the result of that kind of thinking, of the step one, step two, step three, which I'm not against. I wrote a booklet once, 7 Steps to Worry-Free Living. Okay, I like steps. I like practical application. I'm not against that. It's just, if faith in God is not part of it all, you can forget your steps. You don't even have to start. Start with faith in God. So the problem with that kind of thinking is when life hits, you know, when the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, when you sit across a person in a white coat that looks at an x-ray and tells you something you just your entire life wish you would never hear. In that moment, there is no, okay, what is the first step now? What is step one, step two, step three? In that moment, what you need is faith in God. You don't need your step one, step two, step three. You don't need your 30 days. You need faith in God. And you know what? And God may tell you, read that book. And God may tell you, take these steps. And God may, I'm not against that. I'm just saying, what you need is faith in God. There was an evangelist, he went home to be with the Lord a couple of years ago, and this was one of his sayings. He said, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. And people are rolling their eyes when they hear that, but it's true. That is what we need. We need faith in God. And when there are areas where we do not trust God, then Father, help my unbelief. And there was a time where Christians knew that. Now, it's not very popular to preach that. Now give me the 1, 2, 3, and 4 so I can do them, see that they don't work, and then find something else. That's our attitude almost. Well, have faith in God. I just want to encourage you. That's all. If somebody asks you what was the sermon about this morning, it's not about ripped shirts. That's the only thing you have to remember. Have faith in God. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 1. And in the name of Jesus, I'll close with that. Second Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 8. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8. It says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." So he starts out and he says, you know, we want you to know about this. When we were over there, we were burdened, or the Bible says pressured beyond measure, above our strength. I don't know about you. Have you ever been pressured or been under pressure above your strength? You had this thought, I just can't take it anymore, right? I believe there's not a single person in this room that has never had that thought. I can't take it anymore. I don't care how young you are. You've been in class. There was one point in math where you just looked at the board and you said, I don't know if I can take this anymore. You know, everybody knows this point. It's a little different in math. You know, they were pressured because they were about to die. And when you're in school, you're pressured because of math. So kind of the relation is a little, anyway. But they were pressed beyond, they didn't have, and the Bible even says, this is Paul, okay? Hero of faith, Paul, right? New creation in Christ, Paul, right? We walk by faith and not by sight, Paul, all right? That Paul. He said, I had the sentence of death in me already. He said, when it came to me, my ability, my strength, I was done. And you know what? I don't believe it's prophesying something bad. I don't believe it's negative speaking. I just believe that's reality. Every single person that ever walked the face of this earth knows the feeling where you say, according to my ability, according to my wisdom, according to what I know to do or can do, I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm done. I tried every medication I could try. It didn't work. I tried every job training I could do. I just can't find a job. I tried every wise scheme that I can to manage my money in a month, but I still don't know how to pay the rent. And you know what? I'm done with that relationship. We all were at that point, and Paul was at that point too. It's not wrong to be at that point. It's called life. But then the question is, how do we respond to that? When we are done with our own ability, what do we do? What is our response? Well, what was his response? He had faith in God. He said here in verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves but in God. And God raises the dead. He didn't say God raised the dead. He didn't say, oh yeah, he raised Jesus, praise the Lord. When Jesus walked the earth, there were a couple of nice stories in the Gospels where Jesus raised the dead. No, he said, I trust in God who still raises the dead. There is always hope with God. Always. Because he raises the dead. Even if somebody or something dies, God can raise that somebody and that something. And he said, and this is what I choose to do. When I'm done with my strength, I just choose to trust in God. By the way, he didn't say he started to trust God then. I believe he trusted God all the way through. But we just come to this point where we say, you know what? I'm done. But I have faith in God. And if there's any area in my life where I'm walking in unbelief, then help my unbelief. And then he says, I trust God because he delivered us. And because he delivered us, I know that he is still delivering us. And if he's still delivering us, I know that he will deliver me in the future. The God that raises the dead delivered you, still delivers you right now, and will deliver you in the future. All you need is faith in God. Why? Because that's how you receive it. That's how you receive what he has for you. That is how you access that grace that he has for you. But this is where it starts, this is where it ends, and this is how, where you, how you get from the beginning to the end. It's faith. From beginning to end, from top to bottom, all the way around, it's trusting God. Not in our own ability, trusting God. And then God will use your ability. He will use your strength. He will use what you have. He will give you things to do. He will tell you what books to read. He will tell you what preachers to listen to. And for sure, he will always tell you to listen to your pastor. He will. It's in the Bible. You can read it at home. It's Hebrews 13 and verse 17. One of the things he will always tell you, listen to your pastor. If this is your home church, I tell you, there is something that we say every single Sunday that is good for you to hear, that is building your faith, that is important for your life. Amen. All right? But I'm not God. And it all starts and ends with have faith in God. And between start and finish, what do? We still have faith in God. So I would encourage you today, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what has occupied your mind all week maybe, and you just can't get your mind off it, it's just so big, it's just such so big a mountain, have faith in God. Read Mark 11:22, and then look at that mountain and read Mark 11:23 out loud to that mountain. Have faith in God. Mountains have to move. Things need to die. Dead things are raised, the Bible says, when we have faith in God. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. God is good, so let's worship him for that. Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful for all the things God has put in you? In the new birth, when you got born again, he put so much in you. Jesus lives on the inside of you. And the Bible says that God wants streams, rivers of living water to flow out of you. Not stagnation, not hopelessness. No, his power and his blessing, he just wants it to flow out of you. But what is the first step to get there? Jesus said, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of their innermost being, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. You access that by faith. Right? So next time things just look in your life like nothing's moving, nothing's happening. No. God works in you. And it will flow out of you when you say, Father Jesus, I believe you. I believe you. And if there's any area where I need help to walk by faith, show me. Help me. And he will help you, right? Remember when Peter started to sink, Jesus didn't stand there and went like, well, I guess you weren't the right disciple. I picked the wrong one. No, when he began to sink, he stretched out his hand and he helped him up, right? So that's the thing. He believed. And then there was some unbelief that came in and Jesus helped, all right? So this is what he wants to do with you, for you. He's good. Amen. If you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you have never accepted him as Lord, if you have never accepted him as Savior, as the one, the only one, I might add, that has taken your sins on himself, carried it to the cross, died on the cross for you to destroy the separation that was between you and God, if you have never received him as your Savior who did that for you, today's your chance. In a moment, you know, we have to close the service. I just want to ask you to come up here. We will be up here. There will be a team up here. We would love to tell you more about Jesus and what he has done for you. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, well, what is that? Good question. Just, you know, come up. If you're a Christian, you said, I've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is that? Just come up. We would love to show you in his word. There is nothing you need to do. You don't need to be super holy. You don't need to be the best looking person there is on the planet. You don't have to do anything in order to receive from God. The only thing God asks you to do is have faith. These are things you can receive just by faith, just by trusting God. That's all. Right? So every believer is a candidate for the baptism for the Holy Spirit. You don't need to do anything else. Just put your trust in Jesus And then if you're here and you have a prayer request, because God answers prayer. How do we know that God answers prayer? And how do we know He hears us? How do we know we have what He has promised us? By faith. Have faith in God. So if you're here and you have a prayer request, you know, we'll have a team up here. We would love to pray with you. But remember, the takeaway from this Sunday, what did preacher talk about? Well, have faith in God. Trust in Him. Trust Jesus. He is good. He loves you. And that is what will keep you going. You will see the goodness of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Have a blessed week. See you Friday at 7:30. My wife is looking forward to seeing you.